If you guys have a copy of your scriptures, we're going to be in Psalm 42 this morning. Psalm 42, and is it possible? Yeah, we can get it up on the screen. Great. I'm going to do something that we don't often do, but can you stand with me? And we're going to read the scriptures together. Assuming you've got your reading glasses on. And is this in the ESV? I don't want to be out of sync with you guys. Good, it's ESV. Okay, ready? So Psalm 42, verses 1 through 11. I'll give you the preface here. To the choir master, a maskil of the sons of Korah. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God. Are we there? Come on now. There we go. All right. Keeping you guys on your toes, tech team. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go through the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with loud shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep with the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do you go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Let's just pray together. Father, we pray that as we meditate on this psalm, this ancient hymn that was supposed to bring together God's people and cause them to remember their story, and synchronize with their pain, that would also revive their hope. And we pray that you would do that this morning with us. This world and the trials and struggles and the pain therein are upon us in so many ways, in so many facets. And we pray that you would revive us again to the hope that we have in Christ through this psalm that we just read together. And we pray this all in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You can sit, right? That's a long one to stand up for. And you guys were just singing for a while there. So, but I love Psalm 42. I love Psalm 42. And I love it because, hold on, let me get this over here. My son rearranged this on me. There we go. I love Psalm 42, and I love a song with a good hook, right? And the hook of Psalm 42 is, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you. Or as the, you know, modernized song, you know, as the deer pants for water, so my soul thirsts after you. And that's been a hook that I've really loved as I've read Psalm 42, especially in my younger years, especially as I'm hungry for vision for God's people and for the proclamation of the gospel throughout the world. There's just like, yeah, you can resonate with that hunger. And it's funny how over time we can read things differently because we've changed and our circumstances have changed. And so now as I look at Psalm 42, when I see that, I go, wow, I don't know if I have that longing the same way that I had that longing before. And I have, sometimes you get songs stuck in your head. You guys get songs stuck in your head, and it just plays over and over again, man. And the refrain that I've had in my mind is not as the deer pants for water, but why are you cast down, O my soul? That's grabbed my attention. And it's because, in this year for me, it's been really, really difficult. I'm not going to recount all of the struggles that I've had, but there's just been a lot of different struggles. Whether it's financial, whether it's in the workforce, whether it's just the everyday parts of life where you're just trying to get your pants on every day. You know what I mean? That struggle. The aches and the pains that you have growing older. And not only that, the people in our lives that are struggling and are hurting. And sometimes hurting us. and so I have found that the song playing over the lyric in my head is, why are you cast down, O my soul? And I've been meditating on Psalm 42 probably, I don't know, every day for the last 3 months. It's pretty much been my diet. Sometimes I do that with music too. You ever just have that one album that you just play over and over and over again? I'm like that. I get into seasons where I want to hear that album over and over again and hear the rhythms, hear the cycles, hear how it impacts me. And I jump in sometimes in different spots. Sometimes it lifts me up. Sometimes it brings me down. And what's incredible about the Psalms particularly is Psalms were created. Psalms are authored to help us get in rhythm with our God and with each other. And man, sometimes it's hard to get in rhythm. Sometimes it's hard to feel the beat. And one of the habits that I have anytime coming to a worship service is I'm looking for the beat. I'm looking to, what can I shake my knee to? You know what I mean? What can I get my hip into to just feel the rhythm? And I've noticed that once I'm in rhythm, then all of a sudden things start to flow. Then I start to feel okay, I'm part of something bigger than myself, and I'm on a track that's going to take me to higher places. And that's what I love about Psalm 42. And our big idea this morning as we think about this notion of hoping in Christ again, I'm just going to tell you right now, it's been my password at work. Don't tell anybody my password at work. What I try to do is use my passwords as memory keys. And so hope in Christ again, 42 exclamation point. Don't ever use that, okay? That's mine. And don't log into my stuff. I got eyes on you. But that's been my refrain. And every time I have to type that in, which, as you know, anybody working on a desk space, you're logging that in again and again and again. And every time I think about it, it stops me. But our big idea this morning is going to be rediscovering the gospel revives our hope in Christ. Rediscovering the gospel revives our hope in Christ. And kind of my first observation about this psalm is that it meets us in a cycle, in a redemptive cycle. And God's people are captured in a redemptive cycle. And do we have that graphic, guys? We're caught and captured into a redemptive cycle. And you see this cycle everywhere. This is the biblical cycle. And so you could, you could add as many pieces to it as you want. You could add 10 steps, 12 steps for those of you in 12-step programs. Or you could reduce it down to creation, fall, redemption, restoration. You could, there's all sorts of ways of looking at it. Creation, fall, rescue, a new creation. There's all sorts of ways you can look at it. But the cycle repeats itself over and over and over again in our lives. And it starts with, and I'm going to start us with forgetting. It starts with forgetting. Forgetting our story, forgetting who we are. And then that turns itself into doubt. Doubting who we are. Doubting if God is faithful. Doubting if things are going to work out. And then eventually that works itself into desperation, where you are just going, I need help. I need external sources to get me out of the bind that I'm in. And that desperation leads to a cry for rescue. And when we remember our rescue, we rediscover our rescue in Christ, that just changes everything. Changes the temperature of the room. It changes the mood of the day. It can change so much for us. And not only that, that hope that we have in remembering our rescue starts to produce fruit in us. And this fruit can do amazing things, right? Sometimes we feel when we've got Christ at our back and the wind pushing us forward in the Spirit that we can do anything. And whether it's loving, giving, hoping, counseling people, serving, sacrificing, there's so many ways that the gospel bears fruit in our lives. And then all of a sudden, struggle comes along, taps us on the shoulder, and goes, "Hey, how you doing? Come here for a second." And then you're like, what's going on? And then the struggle brings you into forgetting. Forgetting who you are, forgetting your story. And guys, this is a cycle that happens over and over and over and over again, daily for us. Daily for us. And what I love about this psalm is it really reflects this cycle in so many ways. There's so many entry points here. Because we all, some of you have experienced all of this in the last 10 minutes. Some of you in the last 10 seconds. Because that's how goldfish brained we are. vapid is our thinking often. So that's just one of the things I love about this psalm. It captures and reflects that we are captured in a redemptive cycle. And the second thing that as we, we can take that down if you guys want. You don't need to keep it up the whole time. It's helpful as a cycle here. But struggle and pain can trigger our spiritual amnesia. Struggle and pain can trigger our spiritual amnesia. Get that in verse 3? Right? Psalm opens strong. Oh, Lord, yeah! And then it's, why are you so... Where are you? Verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Verse 7. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. Verse 9, I say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? And man, that's reality. That's what I love about the Bible. The Bible is all about reality. And the reality is that we are not praising God every second of every day, actively and consciously. That's just not happening. And there's only one group of people who are doing that. Who's the only group of people in the universe doing that? It's the angels and the the saved in glory, right? That's it. And the rest of us are, we're on the surface here. We're on the surface of the ocean, and we're bobbing and weaving and going. And I love that about this psalm, is that it there's this resonation, resonates with our forgetfulness and our spiritual amnesia. And I think oftentimes this comes when pain enters our lives, when and it could be something as little as, I did not want peppers and onions on that pizza. Anybody have that, right? They put mushrooms on it. They put mushrooms on my pizza. Can you believe this, right? Has that ruined your day this week? You know, that could ruin your day. That could totally, I mean, that's a struggle. It's expectations that are not met, right? All the way to, whoa, you guys aren't coming to the party? What? Why not? All the way to, might be a tumor. It might be a tumor. Or you might lose your job. Or the numbers are really, really down. Hey, your check bounced. And sometimes you're like me, where you're at Market Basket, right? You're at Market Bucket, and you get your everything's there, and you're like, wow, $400, that's great. And then you're wincing as you tap to pay and waiting for approved. Oh, show me approved. Can I get approved? Boom! Oh, thank you, Jesus, right? But sometimes it's that declined. Your card got declined. Yikes. And now you got to sit there and shuffle through the wallet and find out who's next on deck. And when those things happen, I think the amnesia kicks in, because we start to think, if God is with me, then aren't things going to work out well? It's the story as old as time, that we think that being in Him and having His presence with us means that empowerment, access, success is ours, and it's going to continue to happen again and again and again and again. And when it doesn't, we start to go, where are you, Lord? Where are you? And that's reality, and I love that about this psalm. The struggle and pain can trigger our spiritual amnesia, and we forget. And number three, what I love about this psalm is that it highlights that self-talk is our biggest influence. Self-talk is our biggest influence. I love what this psalm models for us. Thank you, sons of Korah, for this. Where we collectively can even just question ourselves and say, why am I feeling like this? Why am I downcast? What's going on with me? And self-talk is absolutely incredible. And it's perhaps the most undervalued thing in the arsenal, at least that I feel like I've had in my life. Because the voices and the influences are everywhere, right? All you got to do is pull this out, and it's going to take you in a lot of different places, isn't it? Right? This phone is going to take us into different, or a computer, a newspaper, right? We just like the movie, Up. Squirrel, squirrel, squirrel. It's going to take us into all these different places. And the way we are in our heads often, and this, you know, I'll speak for myself here, is I begin, when I feel distant from the Lord, I begin to internalize that feeling. Internalize, did I do something wrong? Did somebody else do something wrong? Something's wrong. Something's wrong. And I feel bad. And part of that feeling bad, and especially when we're getting all these voices in our heads and influences in our life, and especially when we get into the comparison traps with other people that we can find ourselves in, we start to go, man, like, I am just really starting to doubt some things. I'm starting to doubt some things about myself. And not only that, this is really what I love about this psalm, is that it gives voice to how we can fester, I want to say, in shame. There's a shame undercurrent here, and you can catch that with this whole notion of oppression and enemies. And it's a subtle thing. It's a very subtle thing, but you see this verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night, while they say all the day long, where is your God? Who's they? Who's they? That is a million-dollar question for this text. Who's they? And what it does is it tempts us to say, we're the good guys in our story. And everyone else is bad. or the oppressive, or the contrary things that are happening to us must be from the enemy. How many times have we done that? Ah, that's just the enemy doing something. And you're like, well, have we considered that we are the enemy? And maybe it's we're starting to believe the voices that we've heard that no one's spoken to us audibly. And this is subtle. This is very, very tricky, because satanic oppression is a real thing. It is a real thing, and he's active everywhere. But let me tell you a little something about our adversary. He's not omniscient. He's smart, and he doesn't sleep, but he's not omniscient. You know what that means? He has no idea what's going on inside of your head. Isn't that crazy? Now, he can say things to you through other means, through people, through demons, through all sorts of different things. Influences, right? But the number one influence in your life is you. You're talking to yourself. And what this models for us is that even singing is a way of preaching to ourselves. Preaching to ourselves. This is how I know the Spirit's working in me, is when I start to go, yeah, you can do this. Yeah, there is hope here. Oh, hey, why don't we do this? Oh, there's an idea. Let's go with that. And all of a sudden, the doubts and the fears, like, I swear, the most of the time, the internalization of shame is doing work in us so that the taunts that we're maybe are real from enemies, maybe they're just in our heads, are starting to gain traction. And we think we're fools, or we think we're idiots. We think all sorts of things about ourselves. And this is part of the amnesia process. But number four, what I love about this psalm is that there's pointing forward to here that we were rescued by a perfect sympathizer. We were rescued by a perfect sympathizer. Jesus is the perfect sympathizer. In Hebrews 4, verses 14 to 16, the author of Hebrews reminds God's people, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And guess what? Guess who wrote this psalm? Really wrote this psalm. And wrote scripture. Jesus. Think about that. Think about that. Think about what that means. That means that he inspired the sons of Korah to write this. That means that he is giving us this unbelievable invitation to pour our hearts out before him. And everything we've been internalizing, we can actually externalize out loud with him. And what I love, what's great about this psalm, and it goes back and forth in this, it goes back and forth from self-talk to prayer talk. You see that? Right? It goes from, why are you downcast, O my soul, to, then I say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? See, it's complicated. It's complicated and it's complex. And it's intermingled together because that's exactly what our lives are like. I love this psalm for that reason. And he gives us permission to pour our hearts out to him no matter how we are feeling. And how many times have you come to church and you just went through something, whatever it was, you know, close call on the drive here, you're worried about getting here on time, there's all sorts of, you know, weight that we're carrying. I'm worried about my sister. Oh, I don't know what's going on. I saw that accident down there. Man, did the money come in this week? I don't know. There's so much we come in carrying. Never mind, like, I wonder how my kids are going to do. Are they going to make it? Am I going to make it? Am I going to be around for my kids? Man, we get into some dark places. And it's sometimes coming out of the car is like coming out of a spaceship. And you've gone through an experience and a journey and an odyssey. And then you come and you see a sea of happy people. And you're just like, I think I'm going to go hide over here, right? Because you're just not feeling it. And Jesus is like, I totally get it. And that's cool. And you can even mouth the words of a song or a psalm, not because, and not feel them, not because you're a hypocrite, but because it's aspirational. It's aspirational because you have a Savior and you're banking on him helping you to rediscover who he is. And think about it. If we weren't rescued by the perfect sympathizer, what did Jesus actually say on the cross that is echoes Psalm 42? I'll give you two guesses. Anybody? What did he say on the cross? Okay, that's a good one. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Okay, that's a good one. There you go, Mike. Love it. Yes. My God, why have you forsaken me? Right? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, right? In the Aramaic. Jesus was quoting Psalm 22, right? In everything that was going on in Psalm 22 that David had written about. And this is echoed right here. Why have you forgotten about me? And what else did he say? Just two words. I thirst. How about that? I thirst. I thirst. The echoes of Psalm 42 on the cross. How about that? It's beautiful. And so our perfect sympathizer is saying, listen, I am not put off by your hypocrisy. I'm not put off by your inconsistency. I'm not put off by your unfaithfulness. And guess what? I'm not put off when you're angry at me. Bring your anger to me. Bring your frustration to me. Bring it. Bring your shame. Bring it to me. I love how Michael Card describes Jesus as the gentle healer. The gentle healer. The one who died for our sins, God in the flesh, the Word incarnate, who gives us and echoes these words. Beautiful. And then fifth and lastly, you know, I've been learning about this text, is that in this psalm, this song, is that the Christian life is a constant rediscovering of the gospel. It's a constant rediscovering of the gospel. When my grandmother passed away, oh my gosh, probably almost 9 years ago, she lived till the age of 90. And the last 10 or so years of her life, her dementia was just, talk about a goldfish brain, right? You guys understand the dynamic of a goldfish brain? They have a 10-second memory that just keeps refreshing. So they keep forgetting and forgetting and forgetting and remembering nothing. but somebody with dementia, you know, it starts off slow. There's some short-term memory things that go. And then all of a sudden, like, people just drop out of their brains. They don't even know who they are, all the way down to their kids and their spouses. And my wife's grandmother is going through that right now. She doesn't know who we are. And oftentimes when we look at somebody who's going through dementia, we think, oh man, they must really, that's so hard for them. But what's the truth? Anybody around them knows it's harder for us than it is for them. Because they're living on a path of constant rediscovery. And actually, what's so cool is when they recognize you and they go, I know you, and you're awesome, and I love you, and hey, let's talk for a second. And then you get these little windows of time that are just beautiful. And then before you can even think, all of a sudden they turn to you and go, I'm sorry, what was your name again? Grammy. And it took me time to realize that with my grandmother and now with my wife's grandmother, I am looking at myself spiritually in the mirror. Because that's me. That's me. Just the loop. And so the rediscovery is such a powerful thing. And sometimes when we rediscover the gospel and God's love for us and his unconditional grace for us, it can feel like we got saved again. That's what it can feel like sometimes, because it can be so powerful. But this is something that's happening to us all the time, every single day. And I love how this psalm, literally, think about this. This was supposed to be sung by God's people as they came to worship over and over and over again. This is part of the rhythm for them. And in the psalm, look what the psalmist writes. Verse 4. These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon from Mount Mazor. Just a little geography lesson for you here. When you look at Israel, I'm going to give you a couple matrix here. Israel is the whole country of Israel, north to south. It's about the size of New Jersey, okay? It's about the size of New Jersey, and it's got the climate that's parallel to California. You go south, it's a desert. You go north, it's actually rich, lush, and when it rains, man, there's the breadbasket of the Middle East right there. And these mountains, this geography that he's talking about is north. Mount Hermon is like north. That's like Tribe of Dan kind of stuff, northern Israel. And guess what? He's feeling distant because that's where he is, or they are. This group of people are. And they are longing to go to Jerusalem. They are longing for the presence of God. And when would Israel go to the house of God? For the festivals, all the time. And what the festivals did, they were practical reenactments of the story that they had had. And when we forget our story, we forget who we are. But when we know who we are, or know the story of God, we know who we are again. All of a sudden, things start coming back to us. We forget who we are. We forget who God is. But when we remember who God is, we remember who we are. And I love how these things were counting. And that's why we're not doing it this morning, the Lord's Supper, right? What is that doing? It's rehearsing, right? My good friend of mine, Logan, is getting baptized today. What's that doing? Rehearsing the story, right? And moreover, if you think about it, look at the reminders that are all the way through here. Anybody been thirsty this week? Hot one, huh? Hot one. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Woo! Scorchers. 100-degree days. Anybody get thirsty? Gospel reminders everywhere. Nothing like a cold chug of water, man, on a day like that. It is beautiful, right? And that's exactly the kind of pictures that the psalmist is giving us here, right? Anybody go to the wave pool with the kids or go to the ocean, right? Get the waves crashing on you and you feel overwhelmed. Guess what? That's God's love coming at us. It's God's love. Endlessly, wave after wave coming at us, right? Anybody wake up with light today? Right? Day one, God said, let there be light. Right? And not only that, he has put his light in us. And I love what is said in verse 7 and 8. Think about this, of Psalm 42. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. Verse 8. By day the Lord commands. By day. Right? We have day every day. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love. Where's that love going to? You. 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 Me. This love never ends. The Lord commands his steadfast love by day, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I think this is a night song. I like a good night song, don't you? A good way to put your head to the pillow and worship and praise our Savior. And think about the words and the titles of God that are in here. Who is this God? The living God. Didn't we just sing about he who was and is to come? Right there, embedded even in our songs this morning. The resurrection's right there. Right? Jesus is the living God. God, my rock. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, the rock that followed them was Christ in the wilderness. And of course, God, my salvation. Which means, guess what? You are the rescued. One thing that I've been doing recently as I've started to wear watches in the last 6 months, 7 months, is find things that remind me of what I want to be reminded of, to preach to me on my watch and around my watch. And does anybody know orange, the significance of orange in maritime? You know what I mean by maritime? On the water, in the ocean? This is the color of rescue. This is the color of rescue. And I wear orange when I need to remember rescue. And guess what? There's times, man, when I am just so low, so down, and a little glimpse of orange hits me, and I go, oh, just rediscovered the gospel again. And I hope when we sing this song, sing this hymn, whenever it comes up in the psalm run, or as the deer pants, that song, that we rediscover who we have in our Savior, the perfect sympathizer, and the one who gives us hope that he's with us all the way to the end. So let's pray and ask for God's help.